a Christian pickup line. Have you heard of this before? How many of you are single? There's a few. I'm gonna give you some advice this morning. Are you ready? This is Christian pickup lines. Are you ready for this? It's Christian, don't worry. Okay, first of all, you walk up to somebody and say, "Nice Bible. I would like to pray with you. God told me to come talk to you." Have you used that one? That's what Leo used on Peggy, I'm sure. How many years ago? 63 years ago, Leo walked up to Peggy and said, "God told me to come talk to you." And this is what my father used on my mother. "Do you need help carrying your Bible? It looks heavy. It looks heavy." Oh, here's a good one. "Did it hurt when you fell from heaven?" This one's good. The word says, "Give drink to those who are thirsty and feed the hungry." So how about dinner? Do you have an accountability partner yet? Me neither. "Is it a sin that you stole my heart?" Oh. "Do you believe in divine appointment?" This one's terrible. "Excuse me, I believe one of your ribs belongs to me." What do you think Paul meant when he said, "Greet everyone with a holy kiss"? What do you think he meant? You know, I'm really into relationship evangelism. No, none of that. None of that. I hear there, this is the last one, I promise. I hear there's going to be a love offering tonight. Oh my goodness. Okay, enough of that silliness. Did you use that one, Leonard? Yes, he did. Today I'm beginning a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit, and it starts with something much deeper than that silliness right there. But Nicole was giggling. You were giggling. I saw you giggling. Did Chris use one of those? No. And the fruit of the Spirit. Where else? I mean, this, where else could we go? I mean, this is the best. Let's just stay here forever. The fruit of the Spirit. What is growing on you? Oh, Holy Spirit, come and fill me fresh so that this fruit can be everywhere in my life. Make my home a laboratory of the fruit of your Spirit. Make my church a laboratory of the fruit of your Spirit. In the spiritual atmosphere, you have fruit hanging all over you. I'm telling you right now, if we could see into the spiritual realm, we would see on one another spiritual fruit. And the question is it fruit of the Spirit or is it fruit of the flesh? I need some supernatural juice. This stuff is better than vitamin D fortified orange juice. This stuff is, it makes Jack LaLanne's power juicer look weak. Anybody buy into that one time? Yeah. You probably already know that the fruit of the Spirit begins with, I'm not sure if I've ever brought up this subject yet since becoming your pastor. Have I talked about love yet? I can't remember. The text that's home for the fruit of the Spirit is Galatians chapter 5. Paul says in verse 14 that the entire law, this is repeating what Christ said in Matthew 22, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love, love, love. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I could come to church every Sunday and be totally sappy and never talk about anything but love, and that would be okay. Romans chapter 1 says that it's God's kindness that leads the sinner to repentance. It is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Preachers don't have to always preach hell, fire, and brimstone. Paul uses the Greek word here in Galatians, agape. Have you heard that word before? Agape, brotherly love, affection, goodwill. Can we go to it, that next slide? Brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence, charity, dear, love. I love that. A love feast. It's a special type of communal meal, having particular significance for early Christians as an expression of their mutual affection, their mutual concern. I want us to consider the state of our society. What has happened to hospitality? I think hospitality used to be much better in our society than it is today. Remember when you could just drop in on people anytime? Neighbors, remember when neighbors knew one another? Maybe they do in Wenatchee. I do know my neighbors. But a lot of neighbors come and go quickly. They move and move and move and move. We could take this too far, and we could glamorize the good old days, when the truth is that the good old days had bad days too, didn't they? But let me ask you, what was the last time that you asked someone over for dinner? Or met at a restaurant and had a barbecue? Why do we save all the fun stuff for the holidays? Why not make it priority to throw some agape love feasts? You know, this is the vision. Love feasts is the vision behind putting together a family pictorial directory. I know a lot of folks have said, I don't want my picture in there. I know you do that, but I'm telling you, we want to know your face and your name so we can get to know one. I want you to actually use this directory and put names with faces and send a card or make a coffee date or invite somebody over for dinner. Amen? This is the vision behind putting this together. I'm not just talking about throwing more stuff on the church calendar. You know that that's not this pastor's heart. We have to be careful. The church sends the wrong message by having so many activities within. How can we infiltrate the world with the love of Christ if all of our time is spent in church activity? God's people need to evangelize in their everyday lifestyle, which is supposed to be what the Holy Spirit is all about. Anybody remember Acts chapter 2? The infilling of the Holy Spirit, the Pentecostal distinction. What was that for? So everybody could just sit around and feel good? No! The infilling of the Spirit was power to witness. I like what Thomas Lernberg said. He said that the believer who sets out to study the person and work of the Holy Spirit is not merely concerning himself with abstract theology, but with the personal reality of God Himself. This is the mystery. The beautiful, wonderful mystery of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want continuous, increasing intimacy with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is truly God at work. Before one can properly understand the work of the Holy Spirit, he must know the Spirit. The Holy Spirit creates life in the believer. But this fullness of the Holy Spirit must be received. And I say daily. It's not just a one-time experience. Yes, 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 you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you right now, it's a daily infilling. It's every day saying, oh, come Holy Spirit, fill me up. I need to be full today, because if I'm not full of your Spirit, I'm full of my flesh. And which means I'm going to walk around grumpy instead of in the fruit of the Spirit. Let it be clearly stated that every believer has the Holy Spirit within him. 1 Corinthians 12:3 teaches that no one is able to make the confession, Jesus is Lord. Lord, make my mouth work. No one is able to make the confession, Jesus is Lord, without the Holy Spirit enabling him to do so. There is, however, a difference between a person belonging to Christ and having the Holy Spirit within him, and a person who is overflowing, filled with the Holy Spirit. The early church reveals this in Acts 8, 12 through 17. I encourage you to write these scriptures down. That is where Peter and John prayed for the believers, those who had already confessed Christ, to then receive the fullness of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul also pointed this out when he questioned the Ephesian believers. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" A.J. Gordon said it well. He said, "It seems clear from the scriptures that it is still the duty and the privilege of every believer to receive the Holy Spirit by a conscious, definite act of appropriating faith, just as they received Jesus Christ." This is why I urge you, friends, to not only confess Jesus as your Lord, but pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Don't just stop. Jesus isn't done. There is a whole lot more in Jesus. There is every gift and fruit of His Spirit. Don't you stop at just saying Jesus is Lord. That's just the beginning. There's so much more. You will never pull supernatural juice, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. None of that is going to be in your life without His power for witness, without an infilling of the Spirit. There's an old poem that tells the story of a woman who was walking through a meadow, and as she strolled along, meditating on nature, she came upon a field of golden pumpkins. It's almost that time again. How come you're not all excited like me? I am pumpkin crazy. Y'all know that about me, don't you? Do you know that yet? I asked Holly to make me pumpkin snickerdoodles for my birthday. Ever had pumpkin snickerdoodles? Anyway, back to the poem. The poem says, In the corner of the field stood this majestic oak tree. And she began to muse about the strange twists in nature. Tiny acorns hung in huge branches, and huge pumpkins sat on tiny vines. She thought, God blundered. What is God up to? He should have put the small acorns on the tiny vines and the large pumpkins in the huge branches. And then she began to rest beneath the tree. She drifted off to sleep, and she was awakened, you know where I'm going, by a tiny acorn bouncing off of her head. And she chuckled to herself, and she amended her previous thought. Just goes to show God knew best all along. I'm talking about some mysterious things here today. And these are things that divide the church. Do you hear me? These are things that divide the church of Jesus, and I don't think they should. But God knows best. I don't have it all figured out, but He does. And I just trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I don't lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him, and He's directing every one of my steps. Oh Lord, direct my words. I want us to rest in the wisdom of God. He knows exactly what to do and how to do it and when it should be done. We sometimes drive ourselves crazy thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And we're looking around us and saying, what are you up to, God? Where's this God? Why aren't you doing this, God? Anybody been there? What about all these promises, God? And I know I am guilty as a pastor of looking around and saying, what are you up to, God? Why isn't this happening, God? And God knows what He is doing among us. So I'm just going to trust Him. I trust Him to save souls. I trust Him to baptize with His precious Spirit. I trust Him to deliver. I trust Him to heal. These aren't things that I can create. These aren't things that I get out my magic Bible and wave it. You know what I'm saying? God is much bigger and more important than any Coke machine I put my little spiritual, you know, coins in and say, okay, God, do what you said. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is much more than waving a wand. This is trusting in God. He knows what's best. So many times we look at ministry, we look at an activity, and we see things in black and white. We see things in tunnel vision. We cannot measure what God is doing with man's ideas. We cannot just go back to what is familiar or rely upon what has always been done. We need to be able to say, I don't know. I don't have it all figured out. Especially if we're going to make a difference in today's world. Especially if we're going to hold hands across the aisle. People don't respond well to know-it-alls throwing around their opinions. Anybody hear me? I don't want to be one of those know-it-alls throwing around my opinion. I believe all those pre-Christians around this church, that's why I call them pre-Christians, outside our doors, they're just waiting for us to throw a little love, throw a little supernatural juice their way, and then we've got to refuse to give up on anybody. We cannot give up on anybody. We cannot shut the door in anybody's face. No matter what they've done, we got to love them anyway. Until the world sees the fruit of the Spirit vibrating from the church, they're going to continue to believe that it is irrelevant. As long as they see the church divided, as long as they see the church fighting, we're in trouble. Anybody hear me? Would you grab your Bibles and turn to John 15? John 15, and I know that's pretty strong words, irrelevant, but you got family, and you have friends, and you have neighbors that are using that word. They're calling us irrelevant. Grab your Bibles and turn to John 15. Once you got there, I'd love you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's word this morning. If you can. John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Anybody been pruned by God? If you've been a Christian longer than a minute, you've been pruned. That it may bear more fruit. Thank you, Lord, for this suffering, because you're making me more fruitful. You're pruning me. It hurts. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Somebody say, abide in me. I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in the vine. This spiritual juice, this supernatural juice, this fruit of the Spirit cannot be in your life if you do not abide in him. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Oh Jesus, I'm nothing without you. Verse 6 of John 15, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Wow. You're abiding in him so strongly that he has put his desires in you. And so every one of your desires comes to pass because it's his kingdom come and his will be done. By this my Father's glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Oh yes, Lord. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full, overflowing. Overflow us with your joy, O God. The kind of joy that it doesn't matter the circumstances outside my door. I'm full of joy. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master's doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This is why your son's eye was healed. It was God's desire to do so. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Oh God, may we know you. I had not come and spoken to them that they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the world might be fulfilled which is written in their law. They hated me without cause. But when the Helper comes, oh, I need that Helper. Anybody need the Helper? The precious Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving the Spirit so your work on earth is done. Oh, change us from the inside out. May your word abide in us. May we abide in your word. May we abide in your love. Fill us fresh with your Spirit today. Baptize your church in Holy Spirit fire again. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. You know, those red letters are amazing. Oh, I need those red letters of Jesus. Abide in him. Abide in him. That's the only way you will have supernatural love. My love is faulty. My love ends. But there is no end to the love of God. It is wide. It is deep. It is long. It is high. Stay in contact in the word. Pray without ceasing. That's not something mystic or spooky. It's just, help Jesus. How many times a day I say, help Jesus? Woo! Help! Thank you, Jesus! I want to do that more. More thank you. 24/7. It's also a Pentecostal thing. I cannot tell you how many times whispering my prayer language gets me through difficult moments. Difficult moments. When you are hated, because guess what? You're going to be hated. We just read in Scripture that you're going to be hated. I didn't say if. I said when. When you are hated, the Spirit in you will be your helper. Helping you to lay down your life. Teaching you to love supernatural. Because we got to pick up the cross and follow Jesus. It's not always fun. We have to love supernaturally. Teaching you to love with no thought of anything in return. Oh, that's something I put. I just did a wedding for the Reyes family. And I always say, oh, you want to. Unconditional love is the greatest tool in any marriage. Somebody say unconditional love. You got to think about more. You got to think more about serving than being served. You got to think more about loving than being loved. You got to think more about giving than receiving. I think back to the day of my wedding day, and this guy right over here, my papa, he looked at me and he said, you don't ever concern yourself with what Holly gives you. You just give her. You just love her unconditionally. It does not matter what she gives you. That's just benefits. You just love her unconditionally. What a daddy. I'm thankful for my daddy. Teaching you to love with no thought of anything in return. Love them anyway. Somebody say, love them anyway. Oh, that turns heads. When you can love somebody, when they are evil to you, when you can be good, when they are evil to you, that turns heads. People go, oh, that might be real. No matter what kind of love, this is not human love. It truly is supernatural, unconditional love. It happens when we have continuous, increasing intimacy with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What kind of love is that? That's what the world should be doing. They should be looking at us and going, what? I think we had a little bit of that when we did our barbecue. And some folks, we put out the sign up there by our sign. We said, free barbecue, come. And some folks from the neighborhood came and got food and left. And there was no strings attached. I want to do more of that kind of thing. Just loving unconditional. That turns heads. That changes people's minds about the church. This is our calling, church. Perfect love. The kind of love that puts up with anything. I want you to remember 1 Corinthians 13. How many of you have 1 Corinthians somewhere hanging in your, 1 Corinthians 13 hanging in your house somewhere? I encourage you to do it. We have it hanging in our bathrooms at the church. Have you noticed that? Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. Trust God always. Always looks for the best. Oh, I like that. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never fails. Love never, say it with me, love never fails. I love what Oswald Chambers declares, and I'm going to close with this. Love is not premeditated. It is spontaneous. The love of God is spontaneous. It bursts up in extraordinary ways. There is nothing of mathematical certainty in God's category of love. We cannot say, okay, now I'm going to think no evil. Now I'm going to believe all things. No, the character of love is spontaneity. We do not settle statements of Jesus in front of us just as a standard. But when His Spirit is having His way with us, we live according to His standard without even knowing it. And on looking back, we're amazed at the disinterestedness of a particular emotion, which is the evidence that the spontaneity of real love was there. God was there. That was a divine appointment. That was God showing up. In everything to do with the life of God in us, its nature is only discerned when it's past. The springs of love are in God, not in us. It is absurd to look for the love of God in our hearts naturally. It is only there when it has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. If we try to prove to God how much we love Him, it is a sure sign that we do not love Him. The evidence of our love for Him is the absolute spontaneity of our love. It comes naturally. In looking back, we cannot tell why we did certain things. We did them according to the spontaneous nature of God's love in us. The life of God manifests itself in spontaneous ways because the springs of love are in the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is only the beginning. And I think we'll probably spend a couple weeks on each fruit. Would you stand with me? Father, this is a holy moment. This is a holy moment. We give this moment to you. As we stand here in this place, as we direct our attention to the wonderful Trinity, to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, this is a holy moment. Alter us, God. That's why we call it an altar, because we need to be altered. Alter us, God, this morning. Lord, we are seeking you. We're not seeking man's opinions. We're seeking the Word of God. We want to understand your Bible, God. We want to open it and be blown away by its truth and changed from the inside out. Would you save today, Jesus? Would you deliver today, Holy Spirit? Would you heal today, Father? Would you pour out your Spirit upon your church again? May we experience the fruit of love in our everyday lives. I'm going to invite our leaders to be available to pray with you. This altar is always open as we worship a little bit more this morning.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire, oh God, no one else will do, only you, Jesus, cause nothing else could take your place, to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way.
Yes.
Bring me back to you. I want to abide in